Well, as Pastor Daniel mentioned, Pastor Benjamin and Sonny are in the Philippines, and so they gave me the chance to come here and speak foolishness. Just kidding, speak the word of God, and it's going to be really powerful. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Mickey. My wife Krista and I, we're campus pastors of our San Francisco campus, sons and daughters. We got sent out on September 11th. We had our first soft launch service on September 18th, and we officially launched on November 13th. So it's been about 3 months. And it's really exciting. So we sent out 29 people. Right now we're at about 60. And so we increased about 200%. And that's really exciting because that means there's 30 other people, members of Living Hope, that you have yet to meet, that you get to meet at Lineage Retreat. And if you don't know what that is, you'll find out soon. And so that's real exciting. We have exciting things going on right now. We just gave birth to our first baby. And so we have a picture. This is baby Kaylee. By the way, not my baby. Not for a while. But two of our church members, Eric and Joanna, they just gave birth to beautiful baby Kaylee. And so she's the first baby on our campus. And so that's really exciting. We actually have more dogs than puppies right now. And so, or more dogs than babies. And so that's real exciting. So it's been a really cool season. We just thank you for the prayer and the love and support that you guys have shown us. You can take the baby off screen now. Today, I'm going to speak to something that I believe God is doing in the midst of you, in the midst of this specific house here in this specific city. And so today we're going to talk about your favorite subject and my favorite subject ever to hear about, which is fasting. And so let's pray. Yeah, God, we just thank you for this awesome opportunity. There's something about this season. There's something about this time. There's something about this moment. This is a Shekinah moment. This is a Kairos moment where you're allowing us to enter into the grace to pursue you with all of our hearts. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, that as the word goes out today, you would awaken something in us because you're doing something powerful in the midst of us, and we don't want to miss it. Just like Aerosmith sings, I don't want to miss a thing. I don't know why I prayed that, Lord, but we don't want to miss a thing. Amen. Amen. I don't know why I said that. Amen. 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 It's going real well. So 2012 was by far the unhealthiest season of my life. And I weighed more than I had ever weighed before. I was breaking out all over my face. I wasn't fitting into any of my clothes. I was sluggish, low energy, tired. It was the unhealthiest season of my life, and I attribute it to one thing. How many of you guys have been there where it's time for bed? It's like 11 p.m., maybe midnight, and all of a sudden there's a stirring. You know what I'm talking about? There's a stirring from deep within, and all of a sudden you hear this and you realize that's my stomach. And so in the late hours, you decide, and most of you choose the right thing. But during this season, I did not choose the right thing. And at that time, there was nothing to eat in our house because we were single bachelors living in a really disgusting house. So we had nothing to eat in our pantry. And so what I would do in those midnight hours is I would get up, get out of my room, get in my car, and drive to the nearest fast food restaurant that I could find. And my favorite at the time was Carl's Jr. Can I get an amen? How many of y'all love Carl's Jr.? And so, you know, the first night, you know, it's okay. It's like, I'm going to just get a midnight snack. I'm young. I'm single. I'm going to go do it. So I'd be like to my housemates, hey, Daniel, you want anything to eat? Daniel lived right next, or he was rooming right next to me. I was like, Daniel, you want something from Carl's Jr.? He'd be like, oh, can I get some fries? And I'd go, I'd get fries, and we eat, right? All good. But then two nights later, the same thing happens. And so this time, you know, I'm ready to go, but maybe I won't tell Daniel, because I'm afraid he'll judge me a little bit. And so I go out, it's late night, I get my fast food, I come back home, I eat it. And then all of a sudden, it morphs to three times a week. And at that point, there's just so much shame, you know? There's so much shame. And so I ain't even telling Daniel I'm going. In fact, I'm tiptoeing. See, it was my room, the hallway, Daniel's room, and connected to the hallway, and then you gotta go out the door. And so I'd tiptoe past Daniel's room, because I'm like, oh, I don't want him to judge me. And then I'd get my food, I'd come back home, I'd order my drink with no ice, because you can't be quiet with ice, you know what I'm saying? You're walking around, it's like, right? And so I'd come back up the stairs, be as quiet as I can, go to my room, unfold my little wrapping, and just eat quietly. And so 2012, for some reason, was the unhealthiest season of my life. And it's because of fast food. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. What I want to tell you, church, is that most of us in our lives, we settle for what I like to call fast food faith. Okay? Run with me here. Now, fast food, when you think about fast food, why is it so appealing? It's appealing because it's quick, it's cheap, and it's convenient. Can I get an amen? When you're balling on a budget, fast food is your savior. You know what I'm saying? It's quick, it's cheap, and it's convenient. But did you also know that fast food is high in calories and low in nutrition? In other words, it's all fluff and no substance. And when I say that most of us are living lives of fast food faith, what I'm saying is a lot of us tend to go by our lives without thinking about it. We don't do it purposefully, but we live lives of faith that's all fluff and no substance. All right? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. See, most of us settle for faith that's quick, cheap, and convenient. Oh, I know I'm touching hearts because I see some angry eyes, right? Most of us live lives of faith that are quick, cheap, and convenient. Yeah, God, I'll read the Bible maybe 2 minutes a day. Or maybe I'll open my Bible app and I'll go to the verse of the day. And you know the verse of the day on the Bible app, it's not even the full verse, like half the verse. Like, God, I'll read that today. Or maybe, God, I'll be in the middle of the library and I'll put on my earbuds and I'll listen to some Bethel music. I'll do that. Or God, maybe I'll share a Facebook status saying Jesus is good or something like that. Easy stuff. But when Holy Spirit says, are you going to share about Jesus to your friend? No. What about, are you going to sing during service? No, Jesus. Are you going to share a Facebook status challenging someone to go deeper? God, no. Just a good thing. Encouraging word. Positive, encouraging, Caleb. Nothing else. No. See, the truth is, most of us live lives of faith that cost us absolutely nothing. It costs us nothing. It's cheap. I feel humbled, so why should I kneel? I feel happy, so why should I dance? I feel faith, so why should I take risks? I feel love for God, so why should I sing? And what happens is we go through life and we live the shallow life of faith and we wonder why God isn't producing fruit around us. It's because faith that costs you nothing bears little fruit in your life. Faith that costs you nothing has no power. See, inner feelings that lead to no outward action is cheap. I'll give you a great example. Real quick, I need to say this. I miss my wife. She's running the San Francisco campus today. And I remember when I first started dating Krista, my wife, I was out of control a little bit. Let's just say that. My affection for her was so much, it was bubbling over. All my friends were absolutely disgusted with me. They wouldn't want to be around me because my affection for Krista was bubbling over and pouring out. I remember there'll be moments where I'm walking with Krista, and we'll just be walking, you know, just having a good day, and I'll go like, bah! She's like, what was that? It's like, I just love you so much. And you know, now that we've gotten married, you know, people say that's a honeymoon period, and I understand what they mean, but let me tell you, I still burn with passion for my wife right now. I still burn for, so husbands and wives, it's possible. I mean, I've only been married for a year, so maybe I don't really know, but so far, the passion's bubbling over. But let me ask you this. What if I just said, it's enough for me to feel affection for her, so I'll never need to say it. It's enough for me to feel love for my wife, so I'll never need to buy her dinner. It's enough that I feel affection for Krista, but I'll never do the dishes. I'll never show or display my love. I'll never do an outward action to display what's going on the inside of me. I tell you what, this relationship would not work. Husbands, do you feel me? Do you feel me? You see, when there's no outward action as a response to your inner feelings, it's cheap. It's not substance. Scripture shows us a correlation between outward physical actions and spiritual breakthrough. And so it's powerful when there are physical outward actions that we do to reflect our insides, and there is spiritual breakthrough attached. Real quick, I want to read a story from Exodus chapter 17. We have the slide right up there. It says, so Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, this was not a metaphor. Moses literally held up his hands. The Amalekites were winning. Oh, I'm sorry. The Israelites were winning. That would ruin my whole illustration, y'all. The Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. And so we see this story. There's a battle going on. Joshua's leading the army of God against the Amalekites. And as long as Moses is holding up his hands, the Israelites are winning. But as soon as he starts to lower them, they start losing. What are we seeing here? We're seeing a physical outward action. Moses physically lifting up his hands correlated to the spiritual breakthrough of the army of God. I want you to know there are certain physical outward manifestations that you do that will lead to spiritual breakthrough. I'll give you a great example. In 2013, I went through a season of inner turmoil. It was one of the most difficult seasons of my life. I had found out that my previous youth pastor went to Florida for a Christian conference, and he actually called a prostitute who was underage, and he was actually caught on camera. It was one of those sting operations. And that just totally tore up my world. And I remember during that season, I was grieving on the inside, but I just, you know, there's seasons where you're sad, but you can't really bring it out, but it's in there. And I remember I went to our sister church, New Philadelphia in Korea, and they're having their annual retreat. And there's this man there, he's from International House of Prayer, Stephen Beauchamp, okay? And let me tell you a little about this guy. Stephen Beauchamp is the type of guy where in the 70s, he wore his high shorts. How many from the 70s wore those really high shorts? Any men, right? And he put on roller skates in Paris, bought two super soaker guns, filled them with oil, and rollerbladed around Paris, shooting super soakers of oil, anointing Paris. So that's the kind of guy he was. And so that's all I knew about this guy. But what he was doing during the services, he was going around to every single person, laying his hands on them, and they would fall out in the spirit, right? This physical action of falling out in the spirit. And I remember Pastor Benjamin, he was going around the room, and first of all, he knocked out the worship team first. And so he went up to the drummer. Drummer was playing, and he prayed for the drummer, and the drummer was on the floor. And so there was no music left, okay? The worship leader, too, he fell with the guitar on his body still, on top of him. And he's going around just praying for people, anointing them. And then he comes up to us, and Pastor Benjamin and Sonny are right here in front of me. And he starts praying for Pastor Benjamin, and Lord, I've never seen so much gyration. He prayed for Pastor Benjamin, he's like, oh! And he fell out in the spirit. He prayed for Sonny, Pastor Sonny, the same thing happened. Then he came to me, and he put his hand on me. And I can't describe what happened, but have you seen that scene in Doctor Strange where, like, they're fighting and they punch Doctor Strange and his spirit flies out of his body? That's kind of what it felt like. It felt like I was removed from myself, and then I fell out in the spirit. Now, it was a physical action. What I had not realized is in that moment, God was doing something on the inside of me. It was a physical action of falling. But what God is saying is, like, you've been struggling with this thing inside, and you've been trying to deal with it on your own, with your own effort. But right now, you just need to fall back into my arms. And there was breakthrough. There was breakthrough. See, physical actions are often tied to spiritual breakthrough. Now, what is all this? How does this all correlate? We're in a season of fasting. By the way, how many of you guys are fasting right now? Good. That's a good majority. All right. In this season of fasting, what we're doing when we're fasting, it's an outward physical action reflecting an inner reality, okay? So we're going to talk about that a little bit. I like to call it the lost art of fasting. You see, fasting is the unpopular kid among the other spiritual disciplines. Can I get an amen? So we're all good at the spiritual discipline of praying, of reading the Bible, of worship, of meditation, all this stuff. But fasting is that unpopular kid in class that just sits by himself in the corner. Fasting is like the forgotten discipline, the forgotten spiritual discipline. And so the question is, what is fasting? We're going to go deep into it today. What is fasting? And this is a really basic definition. But fasting is a Christian's abstinence from something natural for spiritual purposes. Okay, it's abstinence from something natural for spiritual purposes. And I have a quote from John Piper up on the screen. It says, fasting is a temporary renunciation of something that is in itself good, like food, in order to intensify our expression of need for something greater, namely God and his work in our lives. In other words, we're forsaking what is good so that we can taste what is greater. Pastor Daniel pretty much preached my sermon, but it's okay. I'm gonna preach it again. See, fasting is not a holy diet, right? In other words, like Pastor Daniel said, when we diet, we understand that we have to give something up. But fasting is not just giving something up. A lot of us know that half of fasting. But the other half of fasting is this. What are we fasting for? Okay? The other fasting part of fasting is this. It's more than just emptying. Fasting is feasting. Look to your neighbor and say, fasting is feasting.
Fasting.
It's not so much that we're abstaining from food as we are feasting on God. Now listen. I know a lot of times we enter into fast and we kind of just do it because we know it's spiritual and holy. But I'm going to break it down for you today. I'm going to give you the primary reason why we fast. The first and greatest priority of fasting is this. Is to stir a deep hunger for God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The reason why you're fasting, the reason why you are starving right now, and you're dreaming about a nice juicy steak, the reason why you are suffering in the midst of your turmoil right now is because you want to stir up a deeper hunger for God. Fasting, the primary reason above anything else, above wanting breakthrough, is to stir up a deep hunger for God. Fasting is a physical posture of our deep hunger for God. And we have to realize that there are things that have dulled our hunger for him. If you've ever read the Bible, and trust me, I'm still there all the time. If you ever open the Bible and say, this is boring, it's because other things have dulled your hunger for him. If you're saying, I can't spend more than 10 minutes a day praying, it's because something has dulled your hunger for him. How many of you guys know that we were made to hunger for God more than anything else? And even though, just like in that season, I was craving Big Macs, I was craving Carl's Jr. Superstars, I was craving Whoppers, a lot of times when we eat things that dull our real appetite and hunger, we actually long for the junk food instead. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
See, there are things that have dulled our hunger for him. In this next slide, there's another quote from John Piper. He says, if you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it's not because you have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It's because you've nibbled so long at the table of the world. Your soul is stuffed with small things, and there is no room for great. And so let me ask you this. What are the things that have dulled your hunger for God? Is it food? Is it Netflix? I know. I feel the Netflix spirit all over here. Is it a relationship? What are the things that have dulled your hunger for the real thing? What are the things that have dulled your hunger for the one person, the one being that can actually satisfy? This is why we fast. We give up the McDonald's. We give up the Carl's Jr. We give up the junk. We give up the Netflix. We give up the meat. We give up these things to make space to be hungry for the real thing. Getting rid of what might be good for what's actually greater. And so when we fast, we reclaim our hunger and our appetite for more of God. Now listen, I got an illustration that I tried in San Francisco and it did not work, but I have faith for it today. You see this rope, okay? I'm gonna tie it around myself. just like this. And oftentimes what we do during fasts is that we rope ourselves, but we don't ever tie it to anything else. And so this illustration is beautiful because I'm choosing this beautiful strongman Ade. Can you tie this around yourself? And so what happens when we fast is that oftentimes we're going by our lives. How many of you guys have been in a place where, yeah, I'm passionate for God, but then a few days later your passion runs out? Or that I'm really excited about God, but a few days later your excitement wears off. How many of you guys have been there at that place? And so what we do during fasting is this, is we say, God, I'm making space to be hungry for you. And what happens during fasting typically is the first few days are hard because you're going by your day and all of a sudden, you're like Pastor Daniel says, you start thinking about meat. You start thinking about a big, fat, juicy steak because you're only eating vegetables and fruits and juices. And what fasting does is all of a sudden, your mind starts wandering towards steak. And it brings you back. Or all of a sudden, you know, you're thinking about Netflix, if you're fasting Netflix or social media, and you're going by your day, and you're going by your day, and all of a sudden, you find yourself wandering. But what happens is, it draws you back. You see, when we fast, we anchor ourselves in the hunger of God. We anchor ourselves in a place that says, no other thing's gonna satisfy me. No other thing is gonna satisfy my cravings and my hunger but God. And so what fasting does, it anchors ourselves to be hungry for God and to seek only Him. When I did this illustration in San Francisco, the rope was way too long and I couldn't pull. It was horrible. But thank you, Ade. Let's give it up for Ade. Why is it important that you're hungry for God? Because you will relentlessly pursue that which you are hungry for. Can I get him? How many of y'all ever been hangry? Listen, there was a season in me and Pastor Daniel's life where we fell into deep wickedness. And there was a season where we were craving these things called Snyder's Buffalo Pretzels. Put it up there. And let me tell you how deep our hunger for this thing ran. I remember one night, we didn't have any of this, and we was looking for it, and I kid you not, Daniel, do you remember? We went to 4 different Safeways throughout the city to track it down. Each one we went to wasn't there. And finally, we went to a Safeway in Berkeley, and we found it. We were relentlessly pursuing Snyder's Buffalo Pretzels, so much so that after that week, we were done with it, because we had too much of it. We bought 4 bags that night, do you remember? What am I saying here? Number one, yeah, we like to snack. But number two, you will relentlessly pursue that which you're hungry for. So why is it important that we fast and stir up a deep hunger for God? It's because you will relentlessly pursue what you're hungry for and you won't be satisfied till you get it. That's why it's important. That's why it's powerful. Fasting is an exclamation point at the end of sentences like, I love you. Like, I need you, I want you. It's not just, I love you. When you're fasting, it's, I love you. It's like when I was walking with Krista and I'd just be like, bah! It's the exclamation point on the I love yous to God. It's the exclamation point on the I want you for God. It's the exclamation point on the I need you. It's saying, God, it's not just enough for me to feel like I love you and I'm longing for you. It's not enough. I fast because there is a powerful spiritual breakthrough that happens when I outwardly manifest, physically manifest through the discipline of fasting, what I'm really longing for on the inside. Are you following with me here? You see, we always talk about revival. Fasting creates an atmosphere for revival. I'll never forget one of the first major fasts I did was actually with Daniel too. Was it with you? It was in college? Oh, good times. We were fasting in college. And I'll never forget, we just went extreme right off the bat. You know, most people do like, oh, let's do a meal a day, or like, let's do this or that. We're like, let's do 5 days, only water. What were we thinking? And in our young, naive selves, we fasted for 5 days, only drinking water. And it was incredibly difficult. But let me tell you something. There are things that God did in that season in our lives that still mark us to this day. Yeah. It might have been 5 days, but it set us up for the next 5,000 years. It literally set us up. That was an exaggeration. It really set us up for living lives of revival. See, when you fast, because you empty yourselves of all the other distractions, you actually create space for God to do what really matters in your life. You know, we always talk about revival, don't we? But I guarantee if I walked up to any one of you and I asked you, what's revival? You'd have to think about it a little bit, and you'd probably come up with a spiritual, non-description answer. What is revival? Have you ever thought about that? We're always praying for revival, but what's revival? What does it look like? What does it sound like? What actually happens when, is it this like cloud that comes and manifests? Like, what is revival? What is revival? Let me tell you something. Revival is not just about getting people saved. Revival is about getting people hungry. Because how many have known people that got saved, but because there was not an atmosphere that's conducive to developing hunger, it just fizzles out. And their lives, it's like Jesus wasn't even there. What is revival? It's about getting people hungry. When revival happens, people are so hungry for God that nothing else matters. When we're talking about revival, we're talking about not just we're gathering on Sundays because it's the good thing or the right thing to do. We're talking about there's no other place that I can be but there because God is there. Revival is saying the entire area, the entire people of God are hungry, so hungry for God that nothing else matters. That's what we're going for. And so when we fast, we're actually starting a revival in ourselves. Can I get an amen? And so when you're fasting in the season, you know, you're crying out for revival, global revival, beautiful thing. But it starts with an inner deep hunger that is stirred inside of you. Now, the second purpose of fasting is this. It's for breakthrough. It's for breakthrough. And real quick, I want to ask you, are you guys fasting for anything particular? You don't have to raise your hands. Are you fasting for anything in your own life? Are you fasting for specific breakthroughs in your own lives? Well, I want to say this real quick, and I told this to our congregation. When you're fasting for personal breakthrough, whether it be for healing or for a relationship or for a job situation or open doors, pray for a breakthrough that's very specific and measurable. And let me tell you why. How many of you guys have ever been in a situation where you prayed for something so vague that no matter what happens, you could actually spin it to say that God answered your prayer? And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's great perspective. But there's something even more powerful when you pray for a very specific, measurable thing, and it leaves no room for misinterpretation whether God moved or not. Right? You know what I'm saying? There's a very specific and measurable breakthrough. What I encourage you, church, to do in this season is to narrow the breakthrough that you're looking for into a very specific and measurable thing. And you just watch at the end of 14 days what kind of breakthrough comes forth. I'll give you a great example. My wife has been fasting for buildings. And very specific buildings. Number one, a building for our San Francisco campus. But number two, buildings for our church members that are trying to move from the East Bay to San Francisco. And to give you a quick perspective, we've been pumping this vision for almost a year now, to no avail, okay? And actually, the last few months, some of our church members finally heard from God, and they finally felt a stirring to want to move to San Francisco, but there was no open doors. Everywhere they were going, closed doors. But all of a sudden, about 24 days ago, we start fasting, right? And Krista starts fasting specifically for housing for those who are trying to move from the East Bay to San Francisco. You know what happened? Right now, four of our church members just found housing. They just found housing in the city. They just moved yesterday. And we went to their house, and man, I could not help but just think, this is a very specific, measurable breakthrough that we are praying for and contending for. And it's like all the more glory to God because He answered. And so listen, I know a lot of times we're afraid to be let down. But can I tell you something, church? God will never let you down. He'll never disappoint you. And so during this season, I really encourage you, fast for specific, measurable breakthrough, and you watch what happens. So breakthrough is a second priority of fasting. Heaven responds to hunger. Heaven responds to hunger. Heaven responds. Wherever their hunger is, there is breakthrough. Heaven comes where hunger dwells. How many of you guys remember the story of Zacchaeus in the Bible? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. And when Jesus was coming into town, he was shorter than the rest of the other people, so he couldn't see him. But he'd heard all these great things about Jesus. Another thing to know about Zacchaeus was he was a tax collector. People considered him a wicked man. But he heard about this man Jesus, and something in his heart came alive and said, no matter what it takes, I have to see that man. No matter what it takes. And so he wasn't tall enough to see over the crowd. He didn't have enough leg strength to jump over the crowd. And so what he does is he finds a fig tree. He climbs in it. And he sees Jesus from way up top. This man was so hungry to see and meet Jesus that he climbed a tree. Now, I can't even climb a tree right now. But he was so hungry and desperate for God that he climbed a tree. And what happens next? Jesus, out of everyone in that crowd, probably hundreds of people, he says, that man, Zacchaeus, I'll come to your house today. What did Jesus respond to? He responded to hunger. Hunger is what attracts heaven's breakthrough. Hunger is what attracts Jesus to come. Listen, where does Jesus dwell? Where hunger is. See, out of all the houses, he went to the house of the hungry. So what I want to tell you today is this. Yeah, the first priority of fasting is stirring a deep hunger. But with hunger comes breakthrough. Heaven responds to hunger. What you have to know is there are breakthroughs that happen in the spirit that can happen no other way besides fasting. Matthew 17, 21, Jesus says, some demons only come out by prayer and fasting. See, fasting releases that kairos moment for breakthrough to burst from the spiritual into the natural. Now, in 2013, we were doing this heavy push for purchasing our own church building. How many of you guys remember that season, right? And I remember I was at Pastor Benjamin's house right before New Year's Eve. And I remember we were just chilling, hanging out. And all of a sudden, I got this stirring. And I said, I feel like God is calling me to fast meat for the entire year of 2013. And I'll never forget. I was sitting across from Pastor Benjamin at his dining table. And right when I said that, he just goes, and I'm sitting there like, what did I do? I broke him. He did not say a word. 2 minutes passed, and he's going, oh. And I'm looking around like, what's going on? I looked at Pastor Sunny. She's cooking in the kitchen. I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, 5 minutes with no speaking passed. Pastor Benjamin, oh. And finally, he gets up, doesn't even look at me, and walks out of the room. And while he's walking, I hear, that's the last I saw of him. That's the last I saw of him. What I didn't realize was there was something that was awakened and stirred in Pastor Benjamin when I said that I'm willing to fast this entire year of me. And so me, Alicia, come on, Alicia. Who else? Sherry? Sherry in the house? Where's Miss Sherry? Sherry, me, Alicia, Sherry, and Lorenzo. I don't know if you know Lorenzo. We all fasted meat for the entire year of 2013 for the purpose of our building. And you know, the year progressed, not gonna lie, y'all, it got to July, I'm like, yeah, God, half a year, easy for you, easy, easy. And then we get to October, and all of a sudden, I'm thinking, woo, God, you cutting it close, you little sneaky Jehovah Jireh, you sneaky. November hits, we're like, okay, all right, we gotta fast harder, you know? And then December hits, and all of a sudden, I'm like, all right, God, quit playing. You gotta give us our building, because I fasted 11 months of meat. I am a carnivore. I need this. December 15th, December 20th, December 25th, birth of Jesus. Lord, you were born on this day. Would you please birth to us a new building? And then New Year's Eve hits, and I'm like, all right, God, we got less than 24 hours. Like, you need to do something. You need a breakthrough. Well, guess what? 2014 hit, and we didn't have a building. And at first, I was tempted. I don't know about you guys, but I was like, did I just waste a year not eating meat. I only have like 60 to 80 years of my life. 1 year is precious to not be eating meat. You know what I'm saying? It's, God, did I waste it? I'll never forget what God told me in the spirit. He said, Mickey, how dare you think that you wasted this year fasting? You don't know what kind of breakthroughs I'm releasing in your life because of this fast. You might not see it now, but trust me, there will come a time where I'll break through in such a mighty way that you'll say, ah, that's why I fasted during that year. Listen, I don't know how you guys feel, Alicia, Sherry, but I believe that when we, Living Hope does purchase its own building, I'm gonna put up a statue of us four. Because I believe that our fasting was not in vain, that it procured for us future victories. Just kidding, God. All glory to you, Yahweh. What am I saying? Number one, we're fasting for the now breakthrough. But you also have to understand that when we're fasting right now, you're fasting for future victories with today's fasting. You're securing victories for the future with today's fast. And there's nothing more powerful than that. I believe that now is a Kairos moment. There's something about seasons. How many of you guys know that God works in seasons? And there's something about this particular season where there are seasons where God calls you to sit back, relax. Yes, you know. But there are seasons, something about specific seasons, Kairos moments, where God just stirs something. Where God just stirs you to say jogging isn't enough right now. It's not enough for me to go at a slow pace. There's something about this season that God is stirring us to sprint after him like a cheetah. Like to just run after him unabandoned with everything that we have. There's something about the atmosphere. There's something about the moment right now where God is saying, don't worry about wasting. Don't worry about what you lack. Don't worry about anything. Just let loose and run after me with all you got. There's something about this season where he's saying, where are the hungry ones? Where are the burning ones? In this season, I want to stir up a deep hunger, a deep fire. Listen, there's seasons where God does that. And it's important that we recognize it so we don't miss it. And it's important that we do that as a house, because how many of you guys have ever been on fire alone? It's great for the first few days, but you fizzle out quick. But what happens when a community's on fire together? When a community says, I'm not satisfied with the status quo. I'm not satisfied with just average. What happens when a community says, I want to hunger after you, God. I want to run after you with everything I got. There's no stopping a community like that. There's breakthroughs that happen no other way than when a community, an entire family of God, is on fire together. That's what this season is. That's what this moment is. That's why I'm teaching on fasting, our favorite topic in Bible, right? That's why we're doing this. It's so that we could be a community on fire for God, hungry for him. Church, are you ready to forsake fast food faith? Faith that costs you nothing. Faith that costs you little. And are you ready to start fasting in this season to run after God so that you could stir a deep hunger for the real thing? Now, I want to say this real quick. Fasting is not supposed to be easy. Now, I'm only speaking to a select few, and I'm preaching to myself and my wife, actually, right now. But there's these people called Daniel Fast Hackers, okay? There's these people, myself included, that just know how to Daniel Fast real good. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how to Daniel Fast and cut corners so that you could have better meals than you're actually eating when you're not fasting. Do you know what I'm talking about? And I'm guilty of that. I'm sorry, but fasting is not supposed to be easy. We think fasting is supposed to be this euphoric experience that we're gonna walk around like, fasting. No, fasting is supposed to be hard. You're supposed to give up something so that you feel hungry, so that you feel lack, to represent your hunger for more of God. You're meant to feel the desperation, the weakness, so that you can feel lovesick for him. You know, do you know what lovesickness is? Lovesickness is, this is going to gross you out, I promise. Lovesickness is when you love someone so much that when you're not with them, you literally feel sick. And lovesickness is this, even when you're with them, because you just can't get enough of them, you just feel like, you feel sick on the inside. How many of you guys know the bride of Christ is supposed to be lovesick lovers? Meaning there's a returning Messiah that we're already in relationship and love with. But even when he's here, I can't get enough of him and it makes me sick. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, I can't get enough of him and it makes me sick. That's what we're meant to feel, the desperation, the weakness of wanting more for God. Fasting should hurt. I never felt this more than yesterday. So me and my wife, we were fasting. She was fasting Netflix, and I was fasting sweets for the first 19 days. Then on my birthday, both of us moved to a purely liquid fast. And yesterday, our friends started moving to San Francisco, and it was hell. Let me just say that. We had to lug furniture, boxes, up two flights of stairs, in thin, narrow hallways. Have you guys seen that episode of Friends? Pivot! Pivot! That was all day, y'all. And I counted. I must have gone up and down the flight of stairs about 40 times, 1 week into my liquid fast. And I swear, I started blacking out a little bit halfway through. And it's funny, because everyone who was helping moving was on a liquid fast. And half of them had been on liquid fast for the whole time, since March 3rd. And so we're like, why are we moving right now? Like, we... But you know what? Me and my friend Justin, he's part of our team, we were moving stuff, and we were like, you know what? Can you imagine? Daniel in the Bible was Daniel fasting, and it said he outperformed everyone else that was eating meat and eating full substance foods. And so we were like, yo, this is just our chance to prove the Lord's strength. But we felt so weak. But then all of a sudden, we're carrying these boxes up the stairs, and we're like, I hear Justin coming up the stairs. He's like, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. And so all of a sudden, I start saying, the Lord is my... And we feel weak. And we feel the lack. But all of a sudden, we made space in the room for God to really be our strength. And Lord knows, I'm standing here in front of you today because the Lord sustained me. I would have died. I literally would have died. But we're here because of that. Listen, fasting should hurt. And so, I didn't talk about this with the associates or Pastor Benjamin or Sonny, but I actually want to extend a challenge to some of you. And this isn't for everyone. Some of you are really good at Daniel fasting, and that's okay. God's given you a grace and a wisdom and a strategy for it. Amen. But I just feel God pushing me to extend a challenge to some of you to, at this point in the fast, take it to the next level. Okay, some of you are fasting food, but food isn't even the thing that you should be fasting. Some of you need a fast for real Netflix. Some of you for real need a fast social media. And today I want to ask you, when I extend this challenge to you, what's the area that you, as I'm saying this, you feel your fingers like grasping over? You know what I'm talking about. I see it in your eyes. I just feel like God is wanting to extend this invitation to take it to the next level, to take your fast to the next level. For some of you, you're not fasting, and so the invitation is to start fasting with the rest of the house. For the rest of you, you are already fasting, and God is pleased, and he's found you faithful. But I just feel like God is calling some of you to take it to that next level, to add whatever it is that will really make you feel the hunger for more of God. And so I don't laugh at people that say they're fasting Netflix. You know why? Because I believe media and entertainment, it has one of the biggest strongholds over our lives, over our generation today. And so I don't think it's a little thing when someone says, I'm fasting Netflix. Why? Because you just freed up 2 to 3 hours of your day to pursue God. How much time do we spend eating a day? Maybe, what, an hour and a half? Listen, I believe God is calling some of you to give up that thing that you're starting to clamp your fingers over. And you know what I'm talking about. Because there's a grace for it this season. And so listen, we have 14 days left, and I believe that God is stirring a deep hunger in this house. I believe he's already called you faithful. This is not about pleasing God, but this is about stirring in yourself a deeper hunger, real revival, and number two, stirring an atmosphere for real breakthrough. And I believe you will be amazed at the things God does in these 14 days. And so I just want to throw that out there. I know some of y'all mad at me, but it's worth it. If I can invite the worship team up, I'm going to end with this story. There's a story in Luke about a woman who comes before Jesus, and The Bible describes her as a sinner, as someone who wasn't looked upon with great esteem. And the Bible says she came with this alabaster jar, and it was full of perfume. And all of a sudden, what happens is, in the midst of Jesus in this household with his disciples, with the Pharisees, with everyone, this woman with the alabaster jar comes before Jesus, kneels at his feet, and begins crying so much that she begins washing Jesus' feet with her tears. And then she takes her hair and she begins wiping down Jesus' feet even more, cleaning it all the more. And then she takes that expensive perfume, probably all that she had to her name, and she begins pouring it on Jesus. And Jesus looks at Simon, and she says, I came into your house, and you didn't even offer me water to drink or food to eat, but this woman washed my feet with her tears and her hair. When I came into your house, you didn't give me anointing oil for my head, but this woman gave all that, literally all that she had in that jar of perfume and wasted it on me. There's something powerful about wasting all that you have before Jesus. There's something powerful when you give so much that it actually hurts. There's something powerful and significant about giving Jesus more than you can actually give. You know what I'm talking about? For some of us, it's easy to give that 10%. For some of us, it's not. For this woman, she gave everything. And my challenge to you is this. We have 14 days, and this is just a season. There's 14 days to ask God this. How much more can I waste upon you? How much more can I waste upon you? You know, when you waste something, it's like you're recklessly giving it all. And I believe God is calling us in this season to recklessly give all of our heart's affection, all of our devotion to Him. I want to end with this quote by Charles Spurgeon. He's a great theologian. He says, our seasons of fasting and prayer at the tabernacle have been high days indeed. Never has heaven's gate stood wider, and never have our hearts been nearer the central glory. There's something about this season where God's saying it's an invitation to experience heaven's gates wide open. I believe there's an invitation in this season for you to experience breakthrough, things that you've been contending for way too long. I believe there's something in this season that will create an atmosphere for you to be on fire like you've never burned before. And some of you, you're saying, I've burned before. I've burned before, believe me. And God's saying, no. There's another level. There's another burning. And I believe this season is that time where God's saying, heaven's gate has never stood wider. Never have you been nearer the central glory, what it's all about. And so today, church, I want to challenge you. Are you ready to take that step of faith? Are you ready to do that outward action of fasting that will bring about spiritual breakthrough? Are you ready to hunger for God deeply? To run after Him with all of your strength and all of your heart. Listen, I want you to stand up right now. And those of the ushers who are doing communion, we just have a few people stationed up here. I want to do communion a specific way. I'm sorry if I'm disrupting the way we normally do it. But this is what I want us to do. I want us to spend the next few moments responding to this word. And I want us to respond specifically in worship and in prayer. And what we're going to do during this time is we're going to have people stationed up here in the front with the communion elements. And at your own, I don't know what the word is, at your own whatever stirring, I want you to come up and do communion before the presence of God and then go back to your seat. So just to reiterate, you're not going to take the elements and go back to your seat. You're going to come up here with the ushers and you're going to take the bread and you're going to drink the wine. Do it yourself. And the rest of us, we're going to spend the entire time worshiping. And let me say something really quick about communion. Jesus told his disciples on the night before he was arrested, said, "This is my body that was broken on your behalf. And if you eat of me, you are of me. If you eat my body, you are of me." And so today, when we take the bread I want you to take it as a sign that God, this season, I'm gonna stir up a hunger for the living bread of life. This season, I'm gonna stir up a hunger, not for the bread of this world, but the bread of life. And so when you take that bread, I want you to take it as a sign of devotion. God, I'm longing not for natural earthly bread, but for the bread that will never leave me hungry. Jesus took the wine or the grape juice, and he said, this is my blood, which was shed on your behalf. Today, I want you to know as you take the blood, that every victory in your life has been pre-bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so whatever breakthrough you're contending for during the season of fasting, when you take the blood, when you take the grape juice, you take it as a sign that I believe that my breakthrough and my victory are for me, that you've already paid for it with your blood. So once again, as you take the bread, you're saying, I want to eat only of the bread of life in this season. And as you take the wine, say, God, I have faith for my breakthrough because you bought it for my behalf on Calvary 2,000 years ago. And so if we can we sing, Sam, can we sing your song? Is that okay? We're gonna sing Sam's song. And so I just want us to begin worshiping, and then I'm gonna pray for us, and I'm gonna release you at your own time, at your own will, come up and take communion with these ushers. God, I just thank you for the...